The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ through His minister. We believe you will be richly blessed.
What he has started doing with us in this meeting, like Pastor said, the meeting is strategic and structural. It's not something that we receive in 2 days or 2.5 days. It's something that we have to receive all through our life. Hallelujah. And like Pastor began the teaching of the Edenic life, one thing became clear, that we have believed in a lie over time. And God is showing us the real truth so that we can start on, you know, reorientating our minds in the right direction that God wants it to be. Hallelujah. I was telling Pastor last night that that scripture, 1 Timothy 5:8, was a scripture running in my mind. Now, I was just thinking about this meeting and that question struck me. Who said that passage was about the male man? So I had to go and read it again to see that truly it was not talking about the male man. He said, if any provide not for his own. And then the question comes, what is your own? What is your own? It said, a man's enemies are members of his own household. So what is that own? So if any man does not provide, provision there is the same word that was used in Genesis 1:26. Let us make man. That word make, the same word that was used when God said, I will make a help meet for him. The same word, provide. And I remember the story of Jacob in the house of Laban. Remember that story in Genesis 30? When he had served Laban, it struck him one day and he asked that question. Genesis 30:30, and he said to Laban that I have been with you all these years and by my coming to you, the Lord has blessed you. But now, when shall I provide for my own house also? And then I remember the words of Jesus in John 14. Do not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me also. In my Father's house, what are there? There are many mansions. And if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to provide or prepare a place for you. So provision here is not limited, like we have heard, to the natural things that we get. That we'll have. Is that okay? Provision has to be something that will transcend the natural life into the eternal. And so we have to provide for our own house. Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence, the profession, the confidence of our faith to the end, whose house are we? So we are His house. He is our house. For our house in heaven, we are groaning for it that it may come, so that we will be clothed with that house from heaven. So when we are preparing for our household, it's much beyond the natural. It goes into the provision for our soul that transcends this life into the life to come. The Bible says, he that winneth a soul is wise. We are to win soul. And you can't talk about winning if there is no wrestling. Is that okay? So you know what we are to win. Soul. And your soul is you, actually. And it's stronger than you. Than you believe or than you think. So if it says, he that winneth the soul is wise. Two things. It has been made clear to us, it's not just going out to do evangelism. It's to win your own soul. And how do you win your own soul? By wisdom. He that winneth a soul is wise. So it is wisdom that is required to win the soul. And remember, wisdom has builded her own house. She has hewn her seven pillars, which I interpret will be the seven spirit of God. And the very first spirit is the spirit of wisdom and understanding. And the last being the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So provision for our house has really nothing to do with it. Any that will not do that is worse than an infidel because he has denied the faith. Meaning an infidel will even do that naturally. It is natural for you to provide for your house. There is nobody. He said, who among you, you being evil, know how to give good gifts. So it's a natural instinct in man. I was in the office 2 days ago and I were in a meeting. Some birds have built that nest in one of the fans. And then I was watching the bird. It will fly out in less than 3 minutes. It will fly in and go to the nest. As soon as it's approaching the nest, three small heads will pop up. And then they will open their mouth. By instinct, the bird will drop something and fly out again. The same, it was 1 minute for about 2 hours. The cycle continued like that. If a bird can think of providing for its young, human beings have much more. Now, he says in Matthew that if the birds of the air, they toil not, they don't labor, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Meaning, before you are fed, really, you don't have to toil. Toil is different from labor. Labor is hard work. The pastor talked about it in the morning. But toil is what the Bible says in one of the minor prophets, that it's an evil thing for a man to wake up early in the morning and to labor in the very fire and to come back to eat what? The bread of sorrow. That one is toil. That we are not called to toil in that manner. That at the end of the day, what we get is the bread of sorrow. No. He said, labor not for the meat that perishes. So you are to labor for something. And that something you are to labor for is meat. Bread is metaphoric of meat in the Bible. Metaphoric of that which gives you strength. And without strength, without wisdom, you cannot have strength. Is that okay? He said, a strong man, a wise man, increases in strength. He said, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times, Isaiah 36, and the strength of your salvation. What is strength needed for? Strength is needed to wrestle so that you can win. So when the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. When you are laboring, when you are striving, what are you striving for? Is eternal life, to gain mastery of eternal life. So our warfare is not for that which perishes. But over time, I was trying to ask myself, how did this word breadwinner even came into human language? And I saw that it has been there all along. Actually, the word was came into use in the 1800s, early 1800s, to mean whoever, it was not even said as a male, whoever makes available sustenance for a people consistently, you call that person a breadwinner. Another thing that Pastor hinted upon in the morning that also occurred to me, that God, we need to redefine so many things for us, is this. We have believed that when a man gets married, it becomes his role and responsibility to take care of the family. That is the assumption. Let me give another assumption. If you want to get married, Femi, on your wedding card, how do you write the name? Femi,
The lady comes first.
So the lady weds Femi. That's the assumption. But look at it critically. Is it correct to say we are not talking of gender bias here? Is that okay? But you see that every time it is the lady that is written to wed the man or to hook the man or whatever word you use. And then I said, but is that the position of truth, the position of the scripture, that it is a woman that marries a man? What's the position of the scripture? It is a man that marries, but try on your wedding, try to write your name first. I wrote my name first on the wedding card, and there were lots of noise about that. But I kept saying that it's not about trying to prove any point. In reality, in the eye of truth, a woman does not marry a man. It is a man who marries a woman. So you say, this man marries this woman. Is that okay? But today in our day, the assumption is there. It is the woman that marries the man. And it is, some women will fight if it's not so written on their wedding card. And then my mind went to the woman in Proverbs, and Pastor read the place in the afternoon. That if you look at that woman, you will say she's a widow. Where is the husband? Look at those things. I call that woman the enterprising woman. The enterprising, all what you are doing now. You can't stand that woman. When it comes to enterprise, entrepreneurship, give it a modern name. It's there already. She handles this by early in the morning. She wakes up. She does this. She does that. Let that be said to women today. You say, no, that's not the order. What am I trying to say in essence? That in a household, even in the natural, it is possible that the woman will be the one that will be holding the sustenance of the family. We have heard today that most times wives earn more than their husbands. Is that okay? It doesn't have to be compulsory that the man is the one. Another thing that God has to break away from us. I'm not saying you should do that. But there's nothing wrong with it. It's a matter of what is convenient and okay for the moment. Because it is not defined anywhere that this is the way things should be in that order. We have the Spirit of God that instructs us. Every man who wants to get married, what's the first thing you look for? House. Now, I ask a question. There is this young lady. She finished, there are many of them in my office. They finished, as they are finishing, immediately they had a first class. And then they went for their national service, and the university said, come back and stay with us. And they placed them and started paying them. And immediately the university takes over their educational career. They sponsor them for masters, they sponsor them for PhD. Many of them are abroad. And then most of them get their PhD admission while they are abroad because they are brilliant students. And then in 9 months, they have finished masters and they have been given PhD admission with scholarship. And in 3 years, some of them, 2.5 years, they are done and they are back. And they are earning big. Where should she be living? In a hut or in a mother's house? Now, if such a woman goes ahead to rent a flat and stays there, they will say, and she buys things and equips the place. You will still marry. What will your husband buy? Have you heard that? Have you heard that before? Don't buy TV. Let him come and buy. Just buy kitchen things. And the woman spends all that fat salary on kitchen things. Because she believes that, no, I am not supposed to buy a DVD. Even if she needed one. She believes it is until I'm not supposed to buy a generator. And she waits and she slaves it out until one man comes. And after that, the woman goes to get a house. Or the woman gets a house. And now meets a man who happens not to have got a house at that time. Is that okay? Not because he doesn't want to get it or whatever, but that's not the situation, that's not the arrangement. And now marriage wants to happen. Who moves to whose place?
Femi, be sincere. If your wife already has a car, can you move to go and join her in a house rented by her money that she has paid the house rent for, $250,000? She was the one that paid it. And now marriage is happening, and you are not even bothered. You comfortably pack your suits to go there. Eh? A lot of wrestling will be done in your mind. Why? Matthew 15. Can we go to Matthew 15? So this meeting has to do a lot of surgical operations on our mentality. Matthew 15 from verse 1. Let's see what the Bible says there very quickly, and I stop. Are you there? Now, he said they came to Jesus at verse 2. Let's move fast. Why do the disciples, that was the question, why do they do what? Transgress what? What did they interpret as transgression of the elders' tradition? Now, you will expect them to say something grievous. But what are they saying? Sincerely, how many people brush their mouth before they eat every day here? Before you put one thing in your mouth at all, you must brush. Let me see your hands up. If your hands up, you are legalistic. That's the truth. Because to brush your mouth is important, but it's not compulsory. If you found your place on the war front, will you be asking for Sensodyne? You will eat 2 weeks without putting anything in your mouth. I mean, trying to brush. I'm not saying brushing is not good. Is that okay? But I'm saying that there are certain things we have taken to be the tradition. Even if they are serious matters of the law, like Jesus called weightier matters of the law, it will be understood. But wash their hand without eating. I mean, you eat without washing your hands. You have transgressed the tradition of the elders. How can you do that? Our father, no, this, we don't do it that way. This is the way we do it. Then you also have to answer them back. We don't do it that way. They say, who is we? We are we. For we have the mind of Christ. In our world, they don't do it that way. It is you that do it that way. But we don't do it because we have not so received it. Paul talked about the tradition that I have received of Christ. So Christ also has his own tradition. So he said they eat bread without washing their hands. One of the things that happened is this. I've seen many people that use left hand to write and to do so many things. And when you have a child, for those who have children here, and you see them want to eat and they take the spoon with the left hand, what do? You hit the hand. But we were taught that sometimes the brain is lateralized, meaning it's divided into two, right hemisphere, left hemisphere. Most of the times, we are always right-handed. Because our right hand, right side, the right side of our body, the functions are located in the left hemisphere of the brain. And it's natural. But in rare cases, you have it turned the other way. And when it is turned the other way, it tasks the brain more to situate the function of the left side of the body in the other right side. And when the brain does that, such people usually turn out to be a little bit exceptional, a little bit gifted. And so when you see a child eating with the left hand comfortably, writing with the left hand, you smack the child. No, turn the pen. Do you know what you are doing? You are forcing the whole body to readjust and against itself. In doing that, so many things that are naturally located will be lost. So if that child turns out to be a dullard, it's your fault because of the traditions of the elders. Verse 3 of that, please. What did it say? For you make the word of God of none effect by your tradition. But God wants us to make tradition of none effect by the word of God. The other way around. Colossians 2:8. We need two scriptures here. Colossians 2:8, it says, beware. Can you say beware? What is the meaning of beware? I used to tell my students, if you hear a word and you don't know the meaning, don't quickly rush to say, I don't know the meaning. Look at it and break it into two. Be aware. Beware lest any man spoil you through what? Philosophy and vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after. So look at the word. After. Every man is patterned after an inclination. It could be tradition of men. It could be the rudiments of this world. That is even stronger. Because rudiments of this world has to do with what is globally acceptable. So it is unheard of. And what worsens the case is that in our society, we are patriarchal, meaning that everything is looked at from the perspective of the male man. Even the Jewish culture is the same. They don't count women. They don't count children. They only count a man from 20 years upwards. And you may have a 20-year man who may not be as productive as a 17-year-old man. David was 17 when he was anointed king. Joseph was 17 when he created a dream for Pharaoh and became a prime minister. Went to Egypt, rather. He became prime minister 13 years later. The same thing, David. 17 like that. Timothy was around that age, around 16. And yet, in Israel, in the tradition of the Jews, they will not count Timothy to be a human being. Can you imagine? So if Timothy was not counted, imagine we will not have 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. All of that will be lost because he's a minor. So to say. So God wants us to change our orientation and begin to see things the way they really are in the light of the day that we are in. Remember, Pastor taught us, every day has its own light. And that light has its own life. That life informs its light. And that light generates another life. So the light of eternal life is generating for us the light of God that we have to walk in. And it's creating for us a life. So certain things that have been defined for us as men or otherwise, we need to look at them again. Lest we injure ourselves. A couple went to see a marriage counselor. And the man says, what's the problem? The man said, you see my husband, she can't take decisions. She can't just do anything without consulting me, the wife. So if we have to buy a car, she will be the one that will say, honey, what car should we buy? And then to say this, the woman was tired of that. She wanted a man that that macho role of a man. She wanted that kind of a. And then the married counselor said, sir, what do you see to this? Your wife says, he said, honey, what do you think? Right there and then. He said, honey, what do you think about what he's saying? Are you telling me that man is, something is wrong with him? Nothing is, it's just okay, and there's no problem about that. Because the woman can do it. Reverend Helen told us the story of a man who runs businesses, and anytime they want to do those businesses, say, my wife, don't worry, you don't know the things of men, you know, men's stuff. You know, with construction, you know, real estate and all of that. The woman said, okay, all these things you are doing, I don't know, but the way I feel is, you go and sit down, you have come again, all your feeling. And then the man will run into trouble in the business. It happened once, twice, thrice, and the man said, are you a witch? Anytime you just say something like it just happened like that. Now, okay, I will tell you now. I want to go into this business and this. What do you think about? Say, no, I'm not saying anything. What do you think about? Should I do it or not? And he said, actually, who do you want to do it? He said, I have some partners. Can you invite them for dinner? And then they will come and they will eat and all of that and they will go. What did you see about it? He said, nothing really. But the way that man was looking, I don't think he doesn't look trustworthy. I should not do it, Abby. Okay, I'm not doing it. And then the man will not do it. And then anyone, the man says, do it. And the man will do it and he succeed. Anything the man wants to do, what do you say? They said, people say, brain of women are like that of rat. Abby? Somebody said, yes, they may be like the brain of rat. But he who will not take that advice is a fool. That little brain, you call it little brain, if it gives you something, and you say, it's a woman thing. See what happens usually. You run into problem. God is redefining things for us. Don't limit yourself as a female or as a male. Don't go by the expectation of God. Go by the Spirit. A man told the wife, let us paint this bedroom. Let us paint it. What are we going to paint it? No, this color, that color. They were arguing about the color. And they told somebody, the man said, listen to your husband. If your husband said we should paint it, And then the man said, okay. The woman said, okay, I will allow. Okay, no problem. Let his color prevail. And then the man just said, by the way, what color are you thinking of? The man said, red. You paint bedroom in red. Then the man now told them and said, no, don't drag these matters. Let decision making rest with whoever has the capacity to do it well, either the man or the woman. Is that okay? So men have forcefully taken some roles to themselves and they are injuring themselves, while women have abdicated some of their roles and they are becoming redundant. Don't take for yourself in the name of being a male man what is not given to you. So men don't know how to handle money. Just give them 500,000. In 3 days, it's gone. Whether they spend it wisely or they give it out or whatever, it's gone. Maybe the woman can handle financial matters in the home more. Let her be the one. You collect your salary as the man. Say, Atibedeo, Erure, and walk away. You can be sure for that 30 days, nothing will be wrong. But you hold it. If you are not given to handle matters like that, before 10th of the month, you will start borrowing money around. What are we saying in essence? Don't force on yourself as a male man what is not given to you. Because most of this scripture we are reading is not gender specific. They are written to man, either male or female. And as a female, don't leave everything for the man. Daddy, there's a cockroach on the wall. Daddy, we don't want to go and lock the gate. Can you come and stay with us? You know, things like that you can do by yourself. This man of God in America, Kenneth Copeland, used to go for a waiting period on the Lord every year. And then every January. And then when she's going, then it's not the day of mobile internet and all that, just the day of land phone. And you can't carry land phone too because it has cable. So he goes somewhere there and then he tells his wife, Gloria, I'm going for that meeting. Anything that arises, don't call me. Deal with it or die with it. Those are the two instructions usually. Deal with it or die with it. What is this saying? Releasing the woman to fulfill, if you are not there as a man, the woman should be able to step into your role and play it as you would have played it if you were around. And if she plays it well and okay, who says you must worry yourself? There are too many things in the world. That's why men grow older quickly. Because we put on ourselves too many things. Where is then the essence of creation? When God blessed them, he didn't say God blessed him, and God blessed them. So where is that blessing in the female man? Last scripture, 1 Peter 1:18, and then I stop. 1 Peter 1:18. Our mind needs to be turned around. Are you there? For as much as you knew that you are not what? Redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation. How? Received by what? From your... This vain conversation, we received it there. By tradition. What is a tradition? A way of life of a people established over a long period of time that manifests primarily in the language. Tradition, take tradition for culture. Language, what we say, how we say it, and all of that. In the same way, redemption now is coming to us to receive the tradition of our father. These are fathers. You have 10,000 instructors, but you have one father, who is our heavenly father. He's the one who will teach us. That's why I said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. How do we get them? We need to receive them. Receive them. Receive with meekness. What? The engrafted word, which is able to. So we need to begin to tune ourselves to our Father and receive from him. and hear from him and say, how do we go about this? Not when Moses killed that Egyptian, the Bible says he looked here, he looked there. Did he look up? If he had looked up, you think he would kill that man? Because he will have gotten another feedback from up. But we don't look up. We look here, we look there. We take example from this family or from that family. We compare and contrast, and then we decide. They are now having a car. It's bad. Why would they know you are working? Let's even do something. So what is the essence of this something we are doing? Is it what our father taught us, or what we look here and there to receive? I pray this day that redemption will have its full course in us in Jesus' name. And we'll be redeemed from tongue, that natural tribe, that natural thing that we have inherited over time. The Lord will inherit us, and we will truly evolve as men that he has made us to be, and as females that he has made us to be, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
We believe you have heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the word that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us on any of our meetings? You can join us for Live with Friends and Partners Forum first and third Saturday of every month by 8 a.m., on Wednesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m., all at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 at DME College Road, Ondo. For more information, please call 0703-895-5483. Or 0803-850-6491. Or you contact us at livemanifestation@yahoo.com. Remain blessed.